Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the HFCL Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Mitra from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, operator, and good evening to all the participants, and thanks for joining in. We are here to discuss Q4 and fiscal 22 results for HFCL Limited. Management is presented by Mr. Mahendra Nahata, Promoter and Managing Director, Mr. V.R. Jain, CFO, Mr. Manoj Baid, Company Secretary, and Mr. Amit Agarwal, Head IR. So without further ado, I hand it over to Mr. Nahata for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhijit, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to HFCL's earnings call for Q4 FY22. I thank you for all of you to continued interest in HFCL and making to this call. The results, presentation, and press release are available on the website of the company as well as on the stock exchanges. I am sure you all had a chance to glance through them. Friends, as the threat of pandemic recedes, we still remain vigilant about new COVID variants that can pose challenge to the economy. A recent Russian-Ukraine conflict poses new geopolitical challenges, not just for India but also for the world. While quite a few sectors are beginning to show signs of recovery, we could still be staring at an uneven path of recovery given the changing dynamics. All this coupled with the pace of technological transformation call for the need to be vigilant and agile for leaders across nations and organizations. Now, zooming into the Indian context, our healthy growth rate and forex reserves coupled with steadily improving exchequer collection and forecast of a good monsoon shall help us deliver another year of well-leading growth in FY23 for the Indian economy. The Indian telecom sector as well witnesses another year of revenue growth in FY22-23. This happened on the back of rising data consumption and tariff hikes. Sectoral strengthening in form of expanding networks, AGR relief, and lowering the 5G spectrum prices shall help ignite the next level of growth for the industry. For HFCL, FY23 looks quite promising. However, the margins in Q1 may remain under some more pressure because of global increase in input costs. These are expected to get offset by the end of the quarter with increase in sales realization. Government's thrust on indigenous procurement of telecom and defense equipment, healthy telecom revenues fitting into continued network expansion and upgrade by telcos, policy support for design and manufacturing for telecom equipment under PLI scheme, Prime Minister's vision to connect all the gram panchayats to optical fiber cable to provide affordable broadband connectivity are the key levers that would propel HFCL to greater heights of performance and profitability. HFCL's march forward on the path of sustainable and profitable growth is fueled by continued expansion of capacities, product offerings, backward and forward integration, increase in customer base, and enlarged global footprint. We continue to transform HFCL as a technology-driven enterprise that innovates and manufactures not just for India, but also for the world. The structural strengthening and sustained improvements in our performance in FY22 has further strengthened our growth foundation. Being recognized as a trusted source for National Security Council Secretariat as a pivotal acknowledgement from the government. Capital raise of rupees 600 crore through QIP and release of 100% of the pledged shares further demonstrated the trust and belief by our stakeholders. Setting up of a dedicated manufacturing facility for defense products and further expansion of optic fiber and cable facilities, strengthening of our global leadership teams, and deepening of our new product and solution pipeline augurs well with sectoral growth. Sustained growth and fiscal consolidation led to our credit rating upgrade to A with stable outlook from CARE Ratings. We closed FY22 with an order book of more than ₹5,000 crores. From R&D standpoint, deployment of Wi-Fi 7 enabled access points and point-to-point and point-to-multipoint backhaul radios are in advanced stage. These products will be compatible to 5G networks in terms of their throughput capacity. Development of 5G radio and transport products are also progressing well, and these products will result in companies' innovation to reach to global markets. A new initiative has also been undertaken to produce new types of optical fiber cables for the export market. I would also like to mention that the company has been able to increase its product revenue to a level of 43% in FY22 as against 27% in the last financial year. This trend is expected to be even better in the next financial year. The product revenue of FY22 was ₹2,055 crores as against last year's product revenue of ₹1,205 crores. The export revenue of the company also increased significantly in the current year, as against export of ₹201 crores in the financial year ended on 31st March 2021, export in the FY22 was ₹363 crores. We expect to double our export revenue in the current financial year again. Towards the end of quarter 4, financial year 22, the board has approved the expansion of our optical fiber as well as optical fiber cable manufacturing capacities to 22 million fiber kilometers and 34.7 million fiber kilometers equivalent cable per annum respectively, with an estimated capex of ₹425 crores. This round of expansion would see our fiber and OFC capacities go up by 120% and 40% respectively. The move is also aimed at narrowing the gap between fiber requirements and cable capacities in order to further strengthen supply chain and improve our margins. Laying of optical fiber cable in the state of Jharkhand under BharatNet project got completed during the last quarter, providing connectivity to 1789 Gram Panchayats through the GPON network. Our teams laid out 7,765 kilometers of cable network. With this, Jharkhand has become the first state in the country to provide connectivity to all the Gram Panchayats under the state-led model of BharatNet program. We are proud that HFCL implemented this network. Financial year 22 was also marked with HFCL forming several strategic alliances and associations. We joined ORAN Alliance, a worldwide community of mobile network operators, vendors, and research and academic institutions operating in the radio access network industry. Aim of this alliance to build much more intelligent, open, virtualized, and fully interoperable mobile networks. We'll focus on integrating and validating our 5G products and solutions with other ORAN Alliance members and contributors. We formed a partnership with Apracom, the leading artificial intelligence provider, powered Wi-Fi analytics technology provider. The aim is to integrate Apracom's artificial intelligence powered solutions to our platform. Our entire Wi-Fi and UBR product portfolio will now have seamlessly integrated AI-powered network analytics, enhancing the experience for network service providers as well as end users. We chose ComAgility 5G new radio software for our 5G indoor small cell. ComAgility is a key technology partner in our effort to bring a complete portfolio of products for 5G radio access and transport network. We engaged Incra Micro as distributor for our Wi-Fi and UBR line of products with an aim to leverage their stronghold in channel distribution in India and SAARC countries. Let me now brief you on key performance metrics of quarter and 12 months ended FY22. Revenue for quarter 4 FY22 stood at 1183 crores as compared to 1215 crores in Q3 of FY22 and 1391 crores in Q4 of FY21. EBITDA for the current quarter stood at 154 crores as compared to 174 crores in quarter 3 of FY22 and 187 crores in Q4 of FY21. EBITDA margin stands at 13.02% for quarter 4 of FY22 as compared to 14.32% for quarter 3 of FY22 and it stood at 13.44% in quarter 4 of FY21. For quarter 4 FY22, profit after tax stands at 68 crores as compared to 81 crores of quarter 3 of FY22 and which stood at 86 crores in quarter 4 FY21. PAT margin stands at 5.75% in quarter 4 of FY22 as compared to 6.67% in quarter 3 FY22 and 6.18% in Q4 FY21. Segment revenue for telecom products during the quarter stood at 585 crores, which is 49% of quarter 4 of FY22 revenue, as compared to 388 crores, which was 28% of quarter 4 of FY21 revenue. The increase in input costs, including optical fiber, plastics and semiconductors, and logistics during last quarter, has put pressure on the operating margin. This will possibly get offset with increased realization in the coming quarters. For the 12 months ended 31st March 2022, the company reported consolidated revenue of ₹4,727 crores as against ₹4,423 crores in March 21. EBITDA of ₹693 crores as against ₹585 crores in March 21. Profit before tax of 442 crores as against 337 crores in March 21. Profit after tax 326 crores as against 246 crores in March 21. From these numbers for the financial year, we can know the progress made by the company and stronger performance shown by the company compared to last year. The receivable cycle has also come down to 160 days in FY22. On 214 days as compared to FY21. Debt in absolute terms has reduced to 730 crores as at 31st March 22 from 922 crores as at 31st March 21, resulting into debt equity ratio of 0.26 only. Looking ahead, our drive continue innovating and widening our product offerings and expanding our global footprint shall further strengthen our growth foundations. With continued shift in revenue mix, growth in our catalog of products and innovation, we are confident to emerge as a name to reckon with across various markets. Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen, for your keen participation. With this, I conclude my opening remarks and open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. The first question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen, sir. Thanks for presenting the result. So my question was regarding FY23, and if we extrapolate it and go to even FY24, what opportunity we see for our company and where we are ready, and you be as a company and as a leader, how, where you see the opportunity for our company?
Thank you, Mr. Shah, and good question. Look, you know, FY23 comes up with multiple opportunities, India and worldwide. Why I'm saying worldwide also? Because we are focusing to a large extent in the export market also. In terms of opportunity, in the current financial year, as you all are reading in newspapers today, that 5G auction is going to be held very soon, possibly in June. Now with the 5G auction being held and networks to be expanded by operators who take 5G spectrum, there is a large growth in demand of fiber optic cable and also very wideband radios which would be required to connect the different cell sites, which would be many more in numbers because the 5G has a coverage limitation because of higher frequency range. So demand of fiber optic cables and wideband backhaul radios which grow up significantly. Significant growth would be there in these two products demand. Similarly, demand of other kind of telecom infrastructure will increase significantly because network rollout would happen by operators and it will completely large extent a new rollout for 5G networks. Now, when the 5G networks grows, accessory equipment like Wi-Fi 7 for example, which we are also developing, Wi-Fi 6 which is already under our product range, backhaul radios for Wi-Fi backhaul, broadband connectivity, all this will grow significantly. Then the transport products for 5G, routers, switches, they are also going to, demand is going to grow significantly. Good thing is that we have huge capacity for manufacturing fibers, fiber optic cables, and that capacity is being expanded, keeping in view the large-scale network expansion in fiber optic cable to take place. We are inducting wideband radios, E-band radios in our product range. We are having Wi-Fi 6, 7, and 7 is under design, of course, and also unlicensed band backhaul radios for the same usage. We are designing router switches. So all this put together, you will find we are getting ready for the new kind of products which should be required for 5G network, which is to be laid out by the operators who take 5G spectrum. Second big demand is coming from BharatNet. As you would have read in newspapers again, government has now decided to construct this network on EPC mode, where contracts would be given to companies to implement the entire network. What we hear is, from different sources, the total requirement of the fiber optic cable is going to be more than 15 lakh kilometers in next 3 years. 15 lakh kilometers, which is a huge, huge demand opportunity. Now, 15 lakh kilometers of fiber optic cable will be required for linking all the villages which are to be linked in BharatNet. Earlier it was Gram Panchayats, now it is villages over fiber optic cable to give broadband connectivity. Now, it would not only be fiber optic cable, it would be a lot of different kind of equipment, you know, transport equipment, access equipment which would be required for this purpose. And total capex estimation in our estimation is going to be more than 70-75,000 crores including installation commissioning expenses. Now, fortunately, HFCL is present all these market segments. So this is again going to be a massive demand opportunity, and your company has presence in all these areas with cable, equipment, installation, commissioning, EPC capabilities. So this is a second large level of new demand coming up, apart from normal expansion of networks which is going on anyway. There's a third opportunity. Since we are looking at export market, and as I mentioned in my initial presentation, that we have been able to increase our exports from 125 crores or so to 361 crores in the current financial year. We are looking to make it about 2.5 times of the current last year in the current financial year. This 361 crore is probably going to be somewhere around 800-900 crores. That's the target we have fixed up for ourselves. So worldwide, the demand of fiber optic cable and associated equipment is increasing significantly. The reason is the last expansion of fiber to home network worldwide, whether it is North America, whether it is Europe, large scale expansion of fiber optic cable network and FTTH network is taking place. We are also discussing with different operators in some countries to take business for establishing such networks for them and supplying fiber optic cable in any case to many such operators. And that's where our increase in export potential comes up. So, indigenous demand for 5G network expansion, 5G network, BharatNet network, expansion of FTTH network worldwide, including that in India. And we are the largest implementer of FTTH network in the country. All this put together, there is going to be a huge demand opportunity, and we are fully geared up for that. So we have fiber optic cable capacity, which we are increasing. We have equipment, we are designing new equipment which would be available for sales, and we are going international also by increasing our sales capacities. So we are in a very good position to take advantage of this expansion in the market FY23 and beyond.
That's really helpful, sir. Really helpful. So my next question was, can you highlight something about our progress on our defense equipment side?
So defense equipment, there are two kinds of defense equipment. There is defense communication equipment and defense electronics. Now, as you know, defense business takes time to, you know, get qualified and long drawn trials and then eventual supply. So we are designing software defined radio for defense, which will submit for validation sometime by the end of this year. We have designed electronic fuses, which are undergoing trial as we speak now, which are undergoing trial in different places right now as we speak. Night vision devices, again, they are undergoing trial as we speak. So defense equipment, whatever, you know, design has been finished, they are undergoing trial. Software defined radio is under design. And at the same point of time, we are working on a couple of other defense equipment, which would be required by the Indian Defense Forces in near future to design them and to manufacture them. Now, you know, as you would have again seen in media, government has decided that a large portion of defense equipment is to be procured indigenously by indigenous manufacturing. So this again gives a great fillip to our business model, because in our business model in defense equipment, what we have done primarily to manufacture indigenously with a huge amount of local content, which makes us far more competitive. So our whole policy, for whole strategy to design locally, manufacture locally, has proven to be very correct with the need of the time. So government is insisting local manufacture, the large percentage of Indian component, which can only happen if you design in India, and which is going to be helping us to generate more revenues for from defense products in the next few coming years. In the current year, in our annual operating plan, we have not taken into account any significant revenue from defense electronics, though defense communication revenue is going to come. But defense electronics, we have not taken any revenue. We expect this revenue to start coming up from the financial year 24, which will further increase the revenues of the company.
Great, sir. Thank you very much for answering questions, sir. I'll come back in queue for further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Cyril Seth from Insec Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question was, what is our R&D development in the 5G area, as we were developing some hardware which is supposed to cater to the 5G technology. So where are we on that side, sir?
Thanks, well, in 5G, you know, we are two different kind of equipment. One is 5G radios and transport equipment. In the radio equipment, we are designing small cells and macro cells of different kinds. So small cells is for indoor or some outdoor application also, but macro cells is for large scale application for, you know, on the what we call the base stations or the towers you see, for massive, you know, communication capacities. Now, these designs are already happening. We have tied up with the world leaders in this arena to give us software stacks and, you know, designing capabilities, and these are going to be our own design, where our R&D team is engaged together with other engineering companies to design these products. And these designs are progressing very well. For small cells, macro cells, all is progressing very well. And sometime within this current financial year, this later part of this financial year, these products will start coming on stream for showcasing it to the customers in the current financial year itself. Second leg of these products is front hall gateways, which are the kind of routers on the cell side, and access routers and distribution routers. They are also going to be in our production line sometime during this current financial year. So this is progressing well, and there is going to be a very large demand opportunity for these products, because as the 5G networks come, everybody would be requiring these products, because these are the large volume products which would be required by all the operators, not only in India but export also. So we are gearing for India and export. So I would like to re-emphasize here, the demand opportunity is massive, whether it is for 5G network equipment or whether it is for fiber optic cable and associated optical transport equipment. And your company is totally geared up to take advantage of these opportunities by becoming more competitive than its peers because of its own design, its own manufacturing capabilities, and also very competitive design because it has been designed in India and software also being designed in India, owned in India. So these are the massive competitive advantage we have for this equipment. And also fiber optic cable, because the massive quantities you produce, we have a competitive advantage, and also because of the backward integration into optical fiber, that gives us a further competitive advantage. Moreover, in terms of capability to put fiber in the ground, we have the highest amount of work in the country. So we are again in a good position to take advantage of emerging opportunities like BharatNet. So it's a massive expansion taking place now. I find HFCL is in a never-before-good position to take advantage of the opportunities which are there in front of us because of these expansions which I talked about.
For the optical fiber cable industry, what is the growth outlook, and how are we positioned to benefit from this growth? What steps are we taking to, you know, extract maximum opportunity in optical fiber cable?
Look, as I explained a little earlier to answer a question of Mr. Shah.
Yeah.
Demand of optical fiber cable increase is coming once the 5G network, new network being laid out, 4G network expansion, expansion of fiber to home network. I'm talking about India right now. And more importantly, BharatNet, where more than 15 lakh kilometers of fiber optic cable additionally will be required. So all this present a huge demand opportunity. And then coupled with increased exports from our side to different countries for backhaul as well as backbone, as well as FTTH application of fiber optic cable. Now, definitely, you know, we would be needing higher capacities to fulfill these demands. And that's why we are expanding our capacities to manufacture fiber optic cable by about another 10 million fiber kilometers equivalent cable. We are expanding our capacity for manufacture optical fiber from 8 million currently, which is undergoing expansion to 10 million, to an expansion of 22 million, which is an expansion from current capacity of 8 million to 22 million. To fill up the gap between our manufacturing of cable and fiber. So massive expansion is taking place with a cost of more than 400 crores to take care of this demand opportunity which is there in front of us. So demand is increasing, so as we are increasing our capacity. And mind you, we have the highest market share within India for fiber optic cable. We have the highest market share, and we expect to continue to maintain that with increase in our capacity and competitiveness.
Understood, sir. I'll fall back in queue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Guru from Wood Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity. Natarajan, thanks for giving a clear idea about HFCL products and the kind of demand it will have going forward. I've got a couple of questions. Like, my first question is regarding this NDU, that is non-disposal undertaking of equity shares of HFCL.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Guru. Please use the handset mode, sir.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah. My first question is regarding this NDU, non-disposal undertaking of equity shares. So after releasing the pledged shares, just want to have some idea, clear idea about the purpose of
Yeah. Let me first explain, answer you this question. Look, you know, pledge has been released. Non-disclosure undertaking is there from the promoters, part of promoter share, that while the bank loans are existing, promoter should not sell its share and run away. You know, that's a non-disclosure undertaking banks take. That till the time bank loans are existing, you know, promoter should not sell significant part of his shares and run away and leave the banks high and dry. That's the kind of protection bank takes from everybody. So out of the total number of shares of 54 crores of the promoter shares, 24 crores equivalent shares non-disclosure undertaking has been taken by banks. It's no pledge. Let me tell you, no pledge. It's only non-disclosure undertaking that promoters will not sell 24 crores of the share out of 54 crore of their total holding till the time bank loan are existing. That's a very standard thing.
Okay. Fine. And my second question is, as per the last con call, it was given to understand that out of the funds raised through QIP, about 150 crores will be utilized for repayment of loan, if I'm not wrong. So, any plans to go ahead with that?
So, we have already paid. We have already done that. We have already repaid those loans.
Okay, fine. And my last question is regarding this Sterlight patent infringement. We have seen some notification in BSE, but later on now there is no update on that.
Look, you know, I would not talk much about a case which is already under in court. But, you know, we have already informed the court. We have already informed the Honorable Court that this is not correct. Infringement is not there. That stay was given on ex parte basis without even hearing us. This, whatever they have claimed of the infringement of their patent of 2016, we have been producing that kind of a cable from 2013 or even before that. And we have been supplying to our customers. Our customers have given affidavit in the court that they have been buying this cable from us from 2013. And even customers have submitted their specifications also, and our bills and their orders and everything has been submitted to Honorable Court. This is sub judice. But I can all tell you, it's not, there's no infringement in this case. It is just, I don't know why they have launched this. And this stay was taken ex parte. But in any case, court has given us permission to keep on exporting the orders we get. We give list to the court and the export has been approved for us.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. All the best. Yeah. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir. And thank you for this opportunity. Sir, firstly, out of the total order book, how much is skewed towards the export part, sir?
You know, export orders are always coming in bits and pieces. They are not, you know, out of 5,000 crores, you will not find that there are, you know, some thousands of crores. But I think the total export order available in hand is about 225 crores against a total export target we have about, you know, as I mentioned, we wish to increase by 2.5 times of the 360 crores of order export we had in the current year. So 225 crores of order, which is to be supplied, you know, next couple of months, is a good number if you look at our current export target. We'll be able to fulfill without any problem.
And sir, what have been our capex for FY22, including what have been the maintenance capex, and what is our capex target for FY23?
Yeah, I will just get these numbers and come back to you if you have any other questions.
Yeah, yes, sir, I have, sir, a couple of them. Sir, what is our net debt level, Jensab, and what is our cost of fund?
Just one second.
Yes, sir. And also, sir, then coming on to the this turnkey services part segment, sir.
Mr. Kapoor, I missed your question, you know.
No issue, sir.
R&D or CapEx?
Sir, the maintenance capex, R&D, both if you could give the breakup,
okay, look, you know,
for FY22 and
23. Yeah. For capex, as I mentioned, sorry, I missed your question. I thought you were asking about R&D and you were asking about capex.
Sir, bata dijiye, sir, dono hi.
Aapka, dekho, capex ka target hamara in the current year, because we are going for expansion of fiber and fiber optic cable, current year's capex target is about 500 crores. Including that of R&D, about 500 crores.
Okay, sir. For FY23?
Yeah.
And how much we have spent for FY22?
FY22, because there was some bit of capex and some bit of R&D. Total would have been around about 125 crores or so.
So from 125, we are going up to 500?
Absolutely, because we raised capital also, if you recollect, for the purpose of expansion only.
Sir, last year in some of the calls, you have also mentioned that kuch subsidy milne ki thi government se, and there was also one big income tax refund. Have those things materialized for the last year?
Yeah, income tax refund has already come, and subsidy, part of the state subsidy already has been approved, and the rest of the subsidy for central government, that has also been approved, but the disbursement is yet to take place. We expect around a couple of months disbursement will happen.
And how much is the receivable, sir, on that front?
I think that should be about 45 or 47 crores, I think.
Achha. And sir, about the net debt number, sir, the net debt level as on after the capital raising exercise, what is our net debt?
It is 730 crores net debt level as against 920 crores of last year.
Okay, this is after raising 600 crores?
Yes.
Achha, sir. And sir, in the other expenses part, sir, we have found that the other expenses have disproportionately gone up. So, if you could explain the reason in commensurate to the turnover, the other expenses are slightly higher. So, any one-off item there?
Yeah, so this has increased, one, because of the logistic cost. I mean, this freight on logistic exports has increased. Then some R&D expenses has been expensed off, maybe around 5 crore or so. And then we have written off some of the debts, which is 2.5 crore, and 2 crore of the provision has been made during this quarter against the, as the ECL provision, against receivable.
Okay, so this has gone up from, sir, if I take the number for March 21, from 47 crore to 78 crore. That is a significant 30 crore rupees change.
If you total all that what has been explained, some additional expenses on the export side, because we have to increase our exports by a large volume. So we have increased export related market development expenses and the other expenses which Mr. Vyajan mentioned just now. So all total up, it would be this kind of number.
So sir, this will be, this will continue going forward also because of the higher freight cost is still there.
This is freight cost, which is the significant portion of it is the freight cost, higher freight cost, you know, which has happened in the recent past because of these logistical issues which the world is facing. Now, whether this will continue or will go down, that all depends upon the geopolitical situation. I cannot give any forecast on that because, as you know, this is a completely different geopolitical situation which will determine this kind of whether
Correct.
The rates go up
okay.
or not. It may further go up, who knows, or it may go down also if the situation
okay. Sir, on the trunky contract and services segment, we have seen degrowth in revenue, whether quarter on quarter or year on year. Sir, how will you explain the reason?
No need of explaining. This is our strategy. I have been telling you from the very beginning that our revenue from products will go up and from EPC will go down. That has been the thought out strategy of the company. And as you would see, product revenue, which was 27%, has gone up to 43%. So which is a significant shift and it is a well thought of strategy and it will keep on happening in future.
But that has not commensurated to the profit, sir. Mane, if we take the profitability part, the profitability has gone down.
So profit
on an absolute number
in this Q4 because of the increase in input cost.
Okay.
As I mentioned to you, Mr. Kapoor, in the very beginning itself, that it Q4, all input costs have gone up, which is, you would have seen everywhere. Plastics, you know, which is major raw material for fiber optic cable.
Correct.
Costs have gone up tremendously. Fiber we used to purchase last year at a price of 248 rupees per kilometer. Right now we are purchasing at 430 rupees per kilometer, 440 rupees per kilometer. So input cost has increased significantly. If you look at EBITDA margins, from an EBITDA margin, you know, again, you will find that there has been a significant shift in quarter four because of this increased input costs, you know, which is a worldwide trend.
Right. And what are the current OFC prices, sir?
Wait a second. Let me complete.
Please.
If you see on a year-to-year basis, this was the story of quarter four. If you see year-to-year basis, in the March 21, the EBITDA margin was 13.23%. March 22, it is 14.66%. Had the things not been different in the Q4, this would have been even better. But these are nothing to do with the company. These are geopolitical situations. Freights have gone up. Input costs have gone up. Fiber price gone up. Plastic price gone up. Semiconductors are not available. There is a worldwide shortage of semiconductors. So to get a ready stock, you have to pay higher prices, which we have done. You know, we have to supply to our customers. So this is a temporary phase which has happened, which may very well continue in the Q1 also of the current year. But of course, two things will happen. We expect these things to ease out in Q2, but at the same time, now our new contracts, our sale prices are also increasing. Our sale prices are also showing increase because as we have input cost, so new orders we are taking at increased prices also. So all put together, this would balance out in the Q2. But Q1, there might be some impact of this situation.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Vyas from ET. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Most of my questions have been addressed, but one of my questions is, in 5G telecom equipment, how is the competitive intensity? Who else is likely to supply those products to?
I would differentiate in two parts. One is local manufacturers and another is international. Now, international, all the large companies which you hear the names, you know, Ericsson, Nokia, Samsung would be there. Chinese would also of course not be there because India and Chinese are no longer being allowed. In Indian companies, in 5G radio equipment, Tejas would be there, which is now a Tata company. We would be there. And I don't know if any other company is working on 5G radio networks development. I don't know any company which is doing in a large extent. Maybe I heard of Sterlite earlier, but I don't know the latest status. But we are of course doing. So local companies, I heard the name of Tejas, they are doing it, of course. We are doing it, and we will, of course, do it for small cell and large cell, both. We would continue to do it. So,
okay, so
national companies will be local better. Companies. But, you know, I tell you one thing. Where we look at our competitive advantage? One, for all contracts which are BharatNet kind of contracts, where of course radio equipment are not there, but all other equipment are there, including some of the equipment which are common use in 5G or optical network. They are all made in India. So we always get a preference to supply such equipment if it is made in India, and ours is made in India. Number two, our software cost and everything is local development, so cost of development is much lower than others. Manufacturing in India, so it is more competitive. So overall, we find ourselves more competitive in terms of competition with international players. And I would give you an example. Wi-Fi and UBR radio, which we have produced, we are very well able to compete with all international players, and we've got a good market share in the beginning itself. We've got a very good market share, which are also radio products. So I'm sure, you know, taking advantage of our existing success and good products, we shall be able to sell our products very well in the local market and on the international market also.
Sir, would you be able to quantify how competitive we would be as compared to Tejas? Because I believe that as compared to the overseas players, we definitely would be more competitive. But as far as Tejas goes, how...
Look, you know, I won't say that I would be more competitive, less competitive than Tejas. This, you know, prices have to come out. But, you know, market is so big that two or three or four players can coexist without any problem. You need not be cutting throat of each other in such a huge market opportunity.
Okay. And does it make sense to compare our pricing with overseas players like Ericsson or Nokia?
Yes, you know, well, you know, we have still not seen the prices of 5G products and all that. The sales is to start in India. But in my personal opinion, we should be competitive to them by 10 to 20% margin.
Okay, I get it. Sir, my next question was on our margins. You said that all the input costs have gone up in the fourth quarter. And are we looking at those things stabilizing in this quarter, end of this quarter, and going forward, coming back to the earlier margins? Because our product...
I'll tell you two, three things. That, you know, for fiber optic cable, for example, there are two major raw materials. One is fiber and another is what is based on crude, you know, which is plastics, which is jelly and all those kind of things. Okay. Fiber prices looks like they have stabilized now. You know, it increased significantly. But last 1 month, I'm seeing that prices are more or less stabilized. Supply position has become a little bit worse because of different reasons. It's a lockdown in China. As you see, about 27 cities are under lockdown. and so factories have suffered, and also the ports are closed, so dispatches are not happening. So there has become a supply constraint. We have been able to, you know, still pull on our factories to fill capacity because one, half of our requirement of fiber we produce ourselves, half we import. So that half, earlier we were in a very comfortable position, but now we have to really, you know, do a lot of things, organize, and then only are able to get fiber which is required by us. But fiber prices have started stabilizing, it should no longer increase.
Okay.
Now coming to plastics and all that kind of things. Now this is a very wide geopolitical situation with what is happening in the war, Ukraine-Russia war and all those kind of things. I cannot predict what would happen there because if the war continues with the same level of things it is continuing, then I think crude prices will remain around the same, it will not increase. But God forbid this some two, three more countries get involved in the war which we do not know, none of us can predict, none of us can have any influence in that. If such kind of things happen, then who knows, crude prices may go up and then the plastic prices will go up. So this is completely a situation which none of us can predict, but I don't think it is likely to happen. If the Ukraine-Russia war continues the same level, maybe crude prices will also be maintained around the same level and there may not be any increase in the plastic prices any longer because they have already increased quite a bit. So I think, you know, giving any very abnormal situation, the prices which have gone up should remain around the same kind of prices with some possible increase in the plastics. But what we are doing to hedge against that, now we are asking our customers to give new orders at increased prices, which customers are also responding because they also know that prices or input have gone up, so output prices have also go up without any doubt. So we are now balancing it out in the current quarter.
Okay. And with 5G auctions happening, we would see turnkey services orders also flowing in with the products as well, or we are not likely to take up any turnkey?
No, I tell you, we are not going to refuse any order. With the 5G happening, BharatNet happening, more orders are going to come up, more orders will come up for products and some orders for EPC, you know, the turnkey also. Both will happen. And if there are good orders with a good profitability margins in turnkey also, there is no need for us to refuse. If, you know, for example, Reliance, for example, or any other customer, with a good pay masters, and if they, Jio, Airtel, anybody, if they expand their network and they are good pay master and they give us orders for turnkey also, why not to take that? But on an overall basis, our product revenue will have a higher growth than the turnkey services, and that is a strategy. We have decided that product revenue should grow more rapidly than the EPC revenue.
Okay, that would also drive our margins better.
Yes, sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhijit Mitra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I have a few data questions. So firstly, on your product revenue for the quarter and for the full year, how much of it is contributed by fiber optic cable for the quarter, and how much is it access products? If you can break it
I
up.
I can explain you. Just give me a moment. You know, of the financial year ended 22, the total revenue has been 2,055 crores for exports. Out of it, 1,700 odd crores is by optical fiber cable, and balance is by different products.
Balance is by different products, which includes which most
access products and Wi-Fi and all those kind of accessories.
Yeah, but this does not include any defense product as of yet.
No, not at all. As I explained in the beginning itself, I have not taken any sales of defense products even the current year also in our AOP. We are all targeting for the next year because the testing and all that is going on. For example, I tell you for example, electronics.
Okay.
Right now the testing is going on in two places, Balasore and Itarsi. Now this is, you know, not full-fledged live testing, live firing. It is live firing with a low charge. After this is done, next level of testing will open in Pokhran and Sikkim in high altitude, in a cold and very hot condition. Then only, you know, tender will be opened up and evaluate and order will be placed. So defense, Abhijit, takes long, long time. So we expect defense products revenue to come from next year only. Neither gave us any revenue in the current year. I'm talking defense electronics. Defense communication, definitely. We are rolling out the large defense network. But defense electronics, any revenue would come from next year only.
Okay. So just to highlight here, the telecom products revenue for the full year was around 2100 crores, out of which fiber optic is around 1700 crores and the rest is access products.
Yeah.
And this 1700 crores would involve how much million kilometer of fiber, as in fiber optic cable?
Fiber number of kilometers, I don't have that data at the moment, how many fiber kilometers. While we are in the call, I will try to get you that data because I can let you know.
No worries. In terms of access product revenue, the 300 crores of revenue that we have seen in FY22, how is that expected to grow as per you?
Look, this product revenue was fiber optic cable and other things, which include accessories and access products and all that. Current year, we are looking at starting export of these products also. Till now, we have not exported. So I think, this revenue from these non-fiber optic cable products should be around 250 to 300 crores in the current year, 300 crores plus, 450 crores. 450 crores including exports should reach to about 450 crores.
Yeah, 450 crores including exports in FY23, that's the expected numbers what I could get.
Yes.
Okay, got it. My next question is, regarding the state subsidy that we can see sitting in the other income almost to the extent of 15-16 crores, the subsidy under state incentive scheme. If you can sort of break it up, where exactly is it coming from and how much can it increase over the course of next couple of years? Or what is it linked to? So if you can sort of just lay it out for us.
Abhijit, the 15 crore included in other income is towards interest subsidy. The interest from the date the plant commenced the production in January 20 till March 22. So per quarter it is coming around 2.4 crore, something like that. So as it was related to earlier period and this approval came in March only, so it has been shown as clubbed as the other income. Now henceforth the interest will be lower by say 2 crore each quarter henceforth. And then there is a capital subsidy also 30 crore. So our block of the fiber unit will be reduced to that extent. And depreciation will be low, there will be lower depreciation going forward.
Okay. So this benefits are there for the new capex also?
Yeah, this will be there for, you are talking the current year's capex?
Yes, I think the 425 or whatever you are spending to expand the capacity.
There will be some other set of incentives which we will come to know as we progress.
Okay, and it would be spread across locations where you're expanding, right? It's not linked to one location.
There would be a lot of incentives and spread all across locations, absolutely.
Okay, but the formula and all is not yet known. That will come to know as
the discussion and probably will know in next couple of months.
Okay, next couple of months. Got it. And my last question is on defense. You have shown a market opportunity of almost $3.5 billion. And that's the total addressable market. Now, out of this $3.5 billion, how much do you expect to capture, and what's the time frame? And which are the products where you are most optimistic about?
Current year, we are not looking at any revenue from these defense products.
Yeah.
Now, future, of course, we are quite bullish. Market opportunities, fuses, electro-optics, which is the night vision, massive market opportunities, we are looking at that. One. Two, we have also participated in a couple of other market opportunities, which are defense related, and I would not like to talk too much about all those things, because they are sometimes defense is not very happy about talking in public. But for example, I can give you, which is open, upgradation of our armored personnel carrier, BMP-2. There also we have participated in that opportunity. That's also a very large opportunity, upgradation of more than 600 vehicles of their night vision devices and control systems and all that is electronic. We have participated. So such kind of opportunities are there we are working on, which is related to our area of work, you know, night vision devices or fuses and all those kind of things. So from next year onwards, we believe that we will be able to start getting revenue from defense equipment also, and I expect next year something like 500 to 700 crore range revenue we should be able to get from defense products, electronic products, communication apart, from defense electronics, 500 to 700 crores this next year, and then it will increase substantially, very substantially. Once you are in, then you start supplying. So
next year as in FY24 you mean, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. No, this is very helpful. And lastly, I must tell you one thing.
Opportunities in defense now are becoming as big as communication equipment opportunities. It only takes time. Some time is taken in defense, but the testing itself is a huge, you know, it involves a huge time frame because of, you know, defense has to go through those kind of tests and all that. Now, I'll give another thing, you know, what we are doing. Fiber optic cable. Now, defense requires a tactical cable which is, you know, they need to lay on the ground in case of a war and all that. They keep on laying on the ground and keep on rolling it up and then taking it somewhere else. And it is so strong that even a tank rolls over that, it still does not break. So we are now starting to manufacture that cable also. So those would be, of course, not defense equipment as such. But yes, it is defense equipment. It is required for defense only.
Right. And I forgot to ask regarding the fiber optic cable revenue, which was around 1700 crore this year. How do you expect it to grow over the next couple of years?
I expect in the current year we should be able to reach to about near about 2200 crores.
Okay.
And year next to that, our estimation is somewhere between 2600 to 2800 crores.
Okay. Great. That's all from my side. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivam Vashi from Eka Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the giving my question.
Can you speak a little loudly, please?
Sir, just one question on the debt side. I heard during the call that we're doing a capex of around 500 crores during the year, correct, sir? So how are we going to fund that?
Look, you know, two things. One, we have raised equity. So
right,
part of the funding would be through equity, and part would be debt.
And
also internal accruals.
Any debt equity ratio that we have planned out?
So it will remain below 0.5.
Okay, sir. Okay. And this capex, sir, will be largely towards our 5G hardware-related products, or is there any...
I tell you, capex largely is one, expansion of optical fiber capacity, two,
okay,
optical fiber cable capacity, three, R&D expenses on design development of products, the capex related to that. So these are the three major heads of capex.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That helps. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing call.
I thank you very much to all of you for attending this conference call, earning call of HFCL. And as I said, we continue on our path of growth. Three mantras we had given: new products, new customers, new geographies. And we are very well working towards that. Second thing we have told, that we will continue to increase our revenue from products. In terms of percentage, we have improved significantly, 27% last year to 43%. And we will keep on going on that path. Third, we have said that we are going to increase our exports. So which, as you've seen, that we have increased our exports 125 to 361 crores. And we expect to do it more than double in the current financial year. So we also said that we will be designing new products aggressively. We are continuing on that path. We are designing new radio products like 5G radio products, Wi-Fi, unlicensed band radios. We are designing new transport products, routers, switches. We are designing new kind of fiber optic cables, which is predominantly required in the export market. So all put together, we are proceeding on the path which we had charted out for ourselves as a strategy and we are very well progressing as a company on that strategy. So, gentlemen, I expect exciting future for us with the growth in the market, which is happening with 5G, BharatNet, exports, and the opportunities which we are creating for ourselves, keeping in view what is happening in the market, going parallel to that, and then the defense products, which is our diversification we have taken, growth opportunity in that arena. Because of Government of India's insistence on Make in India, we see great opportunities there also. All put together, I'm sure we are there for an exciting future. So thank you, gentlemen and ladies, for being on the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.